without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to call your attention also to Psalms 68:18. And we'll read about all the scriptures that we're going to give you this morning, perhaps before the message starts out. In Psalms 68:18-20. David, praising the Lord, says, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Then in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 19, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The song that I'm dealing with this morning, as Brother Steve mentioned, is Count Your Blessings. I have no idea why I couldn't think of the name of the song, because my mind has just been living in it for the last 3 or 4 days. It's a wonderful song and wonderful therapy. But there are times I was thinking about something else while he was singing, and he turned and asked me that question. Would you believe, and I'm sorry, I have to apologize, I suppose, but what I was thinking about is how we were coming along with our books and what the shipping schedule is for getting them to the... Isn't that terrible that those things come into your mind when you're supposed to be worshiping? These are things in the Lord's work, and I guess that's about all that really occupies my mind anymore, but there's so many things there that really do not have a place here in the worship service, I don't think. But anyhow, that's where my mind was, and Brother Steve, I just could not get it to come up. And I don't think I'm going crazy. I'm not sure where I'm going, but sometimes I'm just that way. In any case, I want you this morning to think of that song, Count Your Blessings. Now, this song is presenting blessing counting as spiritual therapy. In other words, he's not just saying, think of something God's done for you so you have something to say. That's not the idea. If you notice the words to the first verse there, it gives you the idea, or it sets the groundwork for the real theme of the song. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. In other words, he says, under those circumstances, at that time, count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. In other words, he says, when you're in this trouble, then you count your blessings and do that as a spiritual therapy to discipline your mind in the right direction. I don't think there's any of us who cannot really get down in the dumps if we are able, or if we somehow manage to really dwell upon the problems and the disappointments that we have in life. You may be disappointed in your children, in your job, in your husband, in your wife, in your health, in your finance. There are all kinds of things around you. You can be disappointed in your neighbors, in the world in general, the morality of the nation, the political situation in the nation. I mean, there are 1,000 things that can occupy our mind, and listen, there's enough of them to drive us out of our mind. You know what I'm talking about? There's enough of us to say, stop the world and let me off. I've had all of this. Anybody can stand. I just don't want any more. There's enough of it out there. But the songwriter says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, you feel like that. Have you ever felt like that? He says it's at that time that you count your blessings. Now, that is to say, refuse to be, now listen to me, refuse to be mentally manipulated by your passing circumstances. Some preacher said one day, how are you doing, friend? And another said, pretty well under the circumstances. And he said, what are you doing under there? That's a good question. And we do, in fact, get under there sometimes. We have no business being under the circumstances, but every one of us, don't be more holy than thou, that preacher might say, what are you doing under, and that's good preaching, but the fact of the matter is he's been under there too. All of us have. And so that's what he's saying in the song, refuse to be manipulated by the passing circumstances. And we are often totally mesmerized by the things that are presently happening to us. Have you ever seen a snake eat a mouse? Or have you ever seen, perhaps on television, a snake eat a mouse? I don't mean to be unpleasant or gross or anything like that. I don't like mice or snakes, either one. If I have to vote, I'll vote for the mouse. I mean, you know, I would not mind killing any snake in the world just to save the life of a mouse. I really wouldn't. And then I might feed the mouse to a cat, but not to a snake. I just don't like snakes. But anyhow, there's something about the way that a mouse and a snake look at each other that literally mesmerizes the mouse, and he will stay there as quiet as a mouse until the snake simply reaches over and takes him. And now, I know that a rattler will hit him and put venom into him, but most snakes that eat that mouse will just slowly reach up, and they'll just go right around him, and they'll ingest him into their body, and the mouse doesn't even resist. And I don't suppose I know some mouse psychiatrist probably thinks he knows why, but I doubt that any of them really know why that mouse is so mesmerized by those snake eyes that he cannot move, because in most cases, the mouse could outmaneuver the snake. He really could. Now, again, a rattler probably and a few snakes like that are very rapid, but a mouse could easily outmaneuver most snakes that eat mice. They could. But they don't. They simply are absolutely mesmerized by the presence of that snake. And sometimes we are so mesmerized by the things that are going on around us, the troubles that are around us, that we are not able to look at anything that's good. You know what I'm talking about? Don't talk to me about anything that's good. I am occupied with my misery. One fellow said to another, how is your wife doing? And he said, she is enjoying very poor health. And sometimes people are like that, you know. They're literally enjoying, they're reveling in their misery, and they do not want to be troubled by anything around them. Now, the suggestion of the songwriter is this. Don't allow yourself to be mesmerized by the trouble, but force your gaze onto the bigger picture. Force your gaze away from the present circumstances and the headache and the toothache. In other words, there is more happening in the world than your sinus drainage, and you're part of it. You know what I'm saying to you? There is more happening in the world than your misery, and you are part of it. And so he says, look around at the bigger picture. Now, Satan always seeks to put us in depression. I mean, that's his business. He is a slanderer. He is a discourager. That's what he does. But the fact of the matter is, we need to learn to rise above it. And the solution that this song suggests, that this songwriter suggests, is count your blessings. There was a secular song. I don't know really if it's secular or not. But if you're worried and you can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep. It may intend it to be a secular song, but I'll tell you something, it carries a pretty good spiritual message. Count your blessings. If you're worried, count your blessings. And that's the idea that this song carries with it. And this is not just a poem, not just a song, but it is tremendously biblical or spiritual therapy. When you are assailed by these things, count your blessings. What things? First of all, the trials and temptations of life. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Now, you've got to kind of get yourself into the mind of the statement that the songwriter's making before you'll see the import of what he's saying. Remember when Paul was on the ship on the way to Rome, and they'd gotten into the storm, and the Bible says, and when all hope was lost, that we should be saved. Then he said, Paul withdrew himself. He abstained from the presence of the people, and he got alone with God. This is what the songwriter is talking about. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, when all hope has been lost, he suggests counting your blessings. Now remember this. What Satan, listen to me carefully, whatever Satan presents before you and I as temptation, God is permitting. God is allowing. But Satan intends it to tempt us toward depression and to turn us away from God. But God, on the other hand, is permitting that in our life as a trial. You follow what I'm saying to you? Satan proposes your destruction by it, but God uses it to refine your gold. What is it? Thy only design, my only design, thy dross to remove and thy gold to refine. What is that song? I can't think of it. But anyhow, it talks of the same idea. This is God's, Satan's design is to ruin you, to hurt you, to discourage you, to turn you. But God's design is your dross to remove and your gold to refine. And so we need to be sensitive to that. We need to realize it. In your strength, you will be saying, I just can't handle it anymore. You ever feel like that? Listen, I feel like that. I feel like, I know, the preacher gets up and preaches every Sunday morning and everybody says, the preacher must always be on top of the world. Listen, there are plenty of times, I mean plenty of times, when I feel like I just can't handle it anymore. Just cannot stand the pressure, cannot stand the pain, cannot stand the disappointment, cannot stand the criticism, cannot stand the misunderstanding, cannot stand the lies, just can't stand it anymore. And it is those times that the songwriter says, listen, turn aside and count your blessings. See, the more you think, the worse you feel. And the worse you feel, now listen to me, I'm not being smart, the worse you think. You hear what I'm talking about? When you dwell on those things, you feel bad. And as you feel bad, and you continue to think, in other words, you're thinking in this bad state of feeling, and your feelings grow worse and worse and worse. And the first thing you know, you are lower than a snake's belly laying in a wagon track. And that, I mean, some of you folks out there don't even know what a wagon track is, and you poor depraved citizens don't understand that. But, I mean, that is pretty low, lower than a snake's belly laying in a wagon track. You can't get much lower than that, but lots of us, most of us, have at some time been there. What shall I do? What shall I do? Eat more? Change churches? Jog every day? Join some kind of a political or religious movement? Well, do all of the above and soak your hands in palm olive and everything will be all right. No, you see, that's the way we tend to think. But the suggestion of the songwriter is this. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Concentrate. See what God has done. Look at what God has done for you. And he suggests that it will change your outlook on life. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And the first thing you know, you'll be saying, hey, life is not so bad. Life is not so bad. Listen to the second thought. The burdens and sorrows of life. Listen, beloved, those are all around. Listen to the second verse there. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you were called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Think about your burdens. I mean, they're there, folks. Every one of us live with them. It may be that your children are living in sin. You try to talk to them, and you realize that they would like for you to keep your mouth shut. They either think you don't have enough sense to pile brush, or they act like they don't think you have enough sense to pile brush. You don't know anything about what's going on out there. You're just an old fuddy-duddy that got polluted by religion. And they're trying to deal with the issues of life. And that hurts. I know, I mean, I have not experienced it firsthand, but I know by knowing a lot of people that that has to hurt tremendously. But listen, don't forget that many people who love their children dearly have learned to live with this successfully. How do they do it? Do they detach themselves from their children so that they don't care? I don't think they can do that. I don't think they do. I mean, if you have a child that's living in sin and rebelling against God, you can't forget that. You can't just dismiss that from your mind. It's got to hurt. It's going to hurt every day. As you pray for them and as you're concerned for them, you can't help but to be burdened. But what is the suggestion? He says, withdraw your mind from time to time from that burden and count your blessings. Count your blessings. And you'll be able to sing even in the prison at midnight, even when your heart is hurt with this. You have a loved one who is dying with a loathsome disease. How can you go on? How can you put up with that? If that's all you think about, it'll kill you both, and you may die before they do. But listen, there are blessings to be counted, and it's a good therapy. It can help a great deal. You look around and you say, people expect more of me than I can give. I doubt that there is a mother or a grandmother here this morning who has not at some time felt like the world, my world, the people around me who love me are demanding more of me than I or anybody else could possibly give. My husband has demands he makes upon me. My children have demands they make upon me. My grandchildren have demands they make upon me. It's more than I can give. I know how you feel. I understand that. But, beloved, I want to tell you something that we can back away from that instead of just being, focused upon it and caused to be in misery because of it. We can back away from it and count our blessings, and he says it'll help. My body is racked with pain. There is no cure for my disease, and no one really seems to care. If I say anything to my husband or my wife, they say, you sure complain a lot. If I say anything to your kids, they say, yeah, but you don't know how bad that toothache I had last week hurts. Nobody cares. Nobody understands, you see. But he says, count your blessings. Now listen, these things will remain. They're going to be there. But you can live with them a little bit better. Fellow was drinking cough syrup for a sore throat, and it had alcohol in it. He was drinking a lot of it. And somebody said, you think that amount of cough syrup really helps your throat? He said, no, it doesn't help my throat, but it just doesn't worry me as much, you know. In other words, I don't care. Now, I don't mean to be funny about something that ought not to be or something that's inordinate. I'm sorry if it sounds that way, but I'm saying this, that counting your blessings will not remove all of the problems that you have to live with. It won't do that. They're going to be there, but what it will do is it'll take your mind off of it. And when you could be crying, and you have reason to be crying, and a lot of the world would be crying, you can be singing as the days go by, in spite of the fact that the troubles are still there. The troubles are there. Thirdly, when you're consigned to material insufficiency. Now, most of us don't know much about that. I mean, I know we talk about hard times. I go to the grocery store and I see people paying for food with food stamps that I never ate in my life until I was grown and couldn't afford. Don't eat today very often because I've got more sense than to pay for it. And they're paying for it with the food stamps, and it makes me mad. It makes me angry. It's wrong. It's not good for them. It's hurtful to them. It makes slaves out of them. It makes dependents. It makes bums out of them, and I don't like it. But I am reminded by it of something, and that is that in this country, even the poor are not poor. We don't know much about poverty. Go to the Philippines and you see people there that are living what should I say, they draw their wages at the end of the day, and they buy whatever food they can buy, and they eat what they buy, and that's it. That's it. They don't work, they don't eat, unless they can steal something. Many of them will do that. In fact, some of them would rather steal than work. I think they would probably make good Americans. They could probably come over here illegally and get on welfare and do pretty well. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of poverty there. India is much worse as far as poverty is concerned. In the Philippines, they have these little boys that I'd heard about it all my life. And I went the first time I went down to the island of Basilan, we were sitting there, and I found this was not quite as interesting. They say, they got these little boys down there that will dive way down deep in that water. You know, people throw coins off, and they'll dive into that water and get those coins. And they do. And they can dive deep. This is water big enough to draft a good-sized ship. And boy, they dive down there and get them. But as soon as I found out what the program was, I wouldn't throw anything over to those boys. Nothing. You know why? Because they are members of a tribe of Muslims who don't do anything but beg. The whole tribe doesn't work at all. It is a religious practice of theirs to beg. That's all they do. They will climb up on the side of the ship and beg you to throw something over. They don't mind diving. They probably be out there diving, and whether you're throwing anything or not. I mean, that diving and swimming, that's not a lot of terrible work to them. They enjoy that. And they're begging. You have beggars all over that land. And in this land, we're not that way. But I'll tell you something, folks. I said that to say this. A lot of Christians have been consigned to starvation by the laws of the land and things of that sort. The Bible tells us about a time when if men do not receive the mark of the beast, they will not be allowed to buy and to sell. But he says, when you look at others with their lands and gold, listen to it. Listen to the song and the wonderful message that's in that verse. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Listen to this now. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven and your home on high. There's some things money can't buy. There's some things in this world money can't buy. I went home yesterday morning at about 10:30 just to get a cup of coffee. Come right back to work. The phone rang. A little voice on the phone said, "Is Mary Forrest Keener there?" I knew it was one of my grandchildren trying to pull a little prank. And they got their little prank kind of mixed up, you know, and got the name wrong. But it's so sweet and so cute. And talk to those little grandkids. And listen, it's just so wonderful. Every Saturday, either they call us or we call them and talk to them for a little bit when the rates are down. Saturday evening, usually. Yesterday, they had things to do. If someone said, "How much is that worth to you? How much money would you give to talk to those kids?" I say, "Well, you know, one of these days they'll get too big and too busy and they won't care about calling Granny and Pawpaw on the phone and talking with them. It won't be a big thing. But how much would you take? What would it take if, for instance, you could have $100 for each of those?" It doesn't cost near $100. It doesn't cost much to call them, actually, on Saturday. But if those children and those phone calls and that relationship were removed and it wasn't there, and you could be compensated $100 for every one of those phone calls? No way. No deal. Those are blessings money cannot buy. I wouldn't know how to put a price on it. I would feel profane and filthy if I thought of... He said, "Count your many blessings money cannot buy." We look around sometimes and we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. Because others have new homes, bigger houses, newer cars, better clothes, more spending money, security for old age. And we begin to be a little bit envious and we begin to pity ourselves because somebody else has more money in this world than we do. You'd be amazed at people who are literally driven to misery and despondency and live in misery and despondency because of their worry about financial provision. He said, "Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven and your home on high. There are things that money simply cannot buy." Finally and fourthly, when you view life's overall conflict, Listen to that last verse, and I think that's what it's doing. It's summing it up. He says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Listen to this. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Have you thought from time to time in your life, I can handle this, I can handle that, and I can handle that. But when all of it comes at me at the same time, I just wilt. I just can't handle it all. So he says, so amid the conflict, sum it all up, put it together, so amid the conflict, whether great or small. Think for a moment of the quadruple temptation that our Lord suffered on the mount of, or in the wilderness, upon the mountain. When Satan came and tempted him with the cares and the concerns of the world. And in all of those cases, listen, he overcame by the power of the Word of God. He took God's promises. And he said, the promises of God are sufficient. And I don't have to have these things. And you know something, beloved? There are sufficient promises. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are sufficient promises in the Word of God for us to look at and for us to comfort ourselves with. And he says, if you need some evidence of that promise, just back off and count your blessings. Do you believe that God is really good to you? Do you believe that God really loves you? Do you believe that God really cares for you? Do you believe that the hand of God is really round about you? How are you going to find out? How are you going to really settle this in your mind? Ask God to work a miracle and remove the burden that's upon your heart today? The songwriter says, no, that's not the approach. The approach is to look back at yesterday and count your blessings. Look at the good things God has done for you in the past. In other words, he retreats to the promise of the sufficient providence from God. The Lord did that. And you know what the Bible says happened? He said, the angels came and ministered unto him. And the songwriter suggests the same thing here. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Why? Because blessing counting is worship. It is worship. And he says the angels will attend. The angels will have to do with that. Count your blessings and angels will attend. For counting your blessings is praise to God. And he says help and comfort. They'll give you help and they'll give you comfort to your journey's end. How are you going to deal with the trouble of tomorrow? Well, the song suggests very scripturally, very accurately, very wonderfully, it suggests deal with the problems of tomorrow by looking back and counting the blessings and thanking God for the blessings of yesterday. In times of depression, when depression is your lot, and it will be, and it'll be mine, all of us have a certain amount of that because Satan is not dead and God is pleased to allow us and God has designed to allow us to go through those things to remove our dross and to refine our gold. In that, do two things, please. Number one, count your blessings. And number two, preach this message to me every once in a while because I need it too. Let's stand with our heads bowed and hearts lifted to God in prayer.